Shall we have a quick word of prayer?
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, the Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The paralytic sinner. This topic was chosen because it reflects on different characters. And I believe that we should be able to draw a link to these characters, and I hope in so as we examine ourselves, we learn something of ourselves, and where correction is needed, let us humbly seek the Lord to correct us. Now, a quick synopsis of the text that we read from Luke 5, 17 to 26. It is about a hole being torn in the roof and the shocked people and scribes looking up in unbelief. As the ceiling opens, dust and debris fall, and down comes a paralytic man on a bed. Then, to their further astonishment, Lord Jesus forgives the paralyzed man of his sin without him even asking for forgiveness and pronounces him healed and the man walking out of the front door. Now, I've divided this message into five sections, which reflects on the different characters that we will gather from this story. Wow, okay, got it. So the message is divided into five sections, no? And we will see the different characters. The first is the paralyzed. The second, the friends. Third, the Savior. Fourth, the amazed crowd. And this time, I have the fifth, which is called self-examination, because at the end of the message, I would want you all to spend some time to examine yourselves and to question, as I said earlier on, and make some decisions. So the story begins with a large crowd of people gathered in a house in the town of Capernaum, where Lord Jesus Christ was, seeking to learn from him and perhaps experience some of the miraculous healing power they had heard was coming from the Lord Jesus. It was so crowded that no one could get in the door. Lord Jesus was teaching a group of people gathered in the house, and among them were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. The religious leaders spent much time discussing about their religious tradition and which had been accumulated for more than 400 years since the Jews returned from exile in Egypt. And these religious leaders were so concerned with those man-made traditions that they, in fact, often lost sight of Scripture. Now, sadly, this is still happening today. We are all depending and relying on man-made traditions. Those religious leaders felt threatened because Lord Jesus challenged their sincerity because the people were flocking to Lord Jesus. The power of God was with the Lord Jesus to teach and heal the sick. So let's look at the first character, and that's the paralyzed. Now picture the paralyzed man that was carried to Lord Jesus by his friends. There are many kinds of paralysis affecting different parts of the body, or all of it. It seems this man was so disabled that he could not walk. His bed was probably a simple mat carried by the four corners. His friends were powerless to help him. There was nothing that the doctors could do, or the four friends would have already carried him there. He couldn't help himself, and even if he could walk at all, it probably wasn't much. He would certainly have been a charity case, either for friends and family who loved him, or begging from strangers. He was most likely an outcast to some degree. Even if he could get to Jerusalem, he could not go into the temple since he wasn't physically whole. Now, he was helpless, weak, and ill. Now, do you know, spiritually, lots of people are that way too due to sin, like the paralytic, like we see in Romans 5, 15 to 20. For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that where I know. If you read this, you will see that there is spiritual lacking in many of us. So likewise, we too are often paralyzed by our sin. We are trapped in evil and sinful habits. Too many of our patterns of behavior are learned from sin. Yes, we are all accustomed to sin. We can't quit sin any more than the addict can quit his addiction for drugs, alcohol, or cigarettes. Sin is not the only trap that binds and keeps us. Fear, doubt, ignorance, and uncertainty also bind us. These are sins that we can't get rid of by acquiring knowledge, by strength of will, or by removing or tearing it out. Like the paralyzed man, we can't beat sin on our own. Romans 8, 1 to 2 tells us, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So this verse tells us that we can only be set free from sin by Christ. Even all of us here in this sanctuary, I believe we must be struggling with some kind of sin. And this is the offer from God, that we can be released from this sin through Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are paralyzed in sin, like this struggling man, and struggling to get out, we have the answer for you. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look now at the friends. Now picture the friends of the paralyzed man that had to carry him. Now these are the men who have come to help this man. Because Paul said in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now sometimes the burdens that we have to carry are our friends' burdens. And sometimes the burden is our friend themselves. But regardless, it is our Christian duty to help whoever has problems. Sometimes we just need to lend a hand, and sometimes to carry a load of their burden. Sometimes we need to be a crutch, and sometimes we need to fully carry them along. Sometimes the load is so great that we need others to share it with us. Here, the four friends had to work together to carry the paralytic. Now, we may think that this is a story that happened many, many years ago. It does not apply to us today. But let me share a real incident with you, which took place in Singapore. Now, there was, in FEBC, the students are expected to go out and evangelize. So this student went to Beach Road, and he met this lady to evangelize to her. And what she did was, if you truly want to evangelize to me, then come to my house. I have someone who really needs to be evangelized to. So he took the student to her house, and there on the living room on the mat was a boy. He was about 9 years old, quite big size. He was a cripple. He was paralyzed from his waist below, and he could not speak. So because of that, the parents just leave him on the net and they go to work. So he just has to push himself with his backside to get his things done. So there he was sitting all alone, and the lady said, you want to evangelize, take him to church. So this student came back to church, that was Life Church, and I was then the superintendent of the junior Sunday school. So he came to me and said, I have a boy for you, but it's going to be heavy. It was required of me to go to his house, carrying him to the church. But he's quite a big-sized guy, and Beach Road to the church is not walking distance. And I had no car. So I approached the general superintendent, who is a teacher. And this elder was very, very careful about his cars. His car was more precious than his wife. So nobody can touch his car. So I went to him and I said, I don't have a car, but I have this child. He straight away took and gave me the key and said, take my car. Wow, I was shocked. So I took his car, went to the place. You know, we had to go up the steps and then carry that boy because we didn't have a wheelchair. And then carry him down to the car, drive him to church, and carrying up, and the Sunday school class was on the first floor. So this went on for a few months. And I was his leg. Until one day, although he was quiet, may I drink some water? Although he was quiet, but he listened to the messages, listened to the Bible study, and he was absorbing it. So one day the pastor called and said, he's in hospital. The 9-year-old boy is in hospital. So we went to visit him in hospital, and the doctor said, we don't know what's wrong with him. They could not diagnose what is happening to him. And they said, we give up. So Reverend Toh said, let us baptize him. Let us put the question of his salvation to him, and which was done. And he said, yes, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, by nodding his head, and he was baptized. And a few days later, he passed away. And we buried him. But strangely, I used to visit his grave, but his grave was just a very ordinary grave. And after a long time, I went back to visit his grave. I could not find his grave because the grass has grown all over. And it's nice to know that, why are you looking for the living among the dead? So I believe that he's in heaven and his grave is gone. So you see, that was an example where we can do such things. So even today, as the ROFers go out every week, and if you find the disabled, bring them here. We have Sister Ivy, we have Brother Williams here, and there could be others. So let us take this lesson and put it into practice that it is possible, provided we are willing. And the boy was quite a big-sized boy, and now on hindsight, when I think, where did I get the strength to carry this boy all around? It came from the Lord. So sometimes kindness and encouragement are enough, but often it is heavy lifting and even daunting. But in spite of the difficulties, the four friends carried their friend who was paralyzed and could not move. His friends believed that Lord Jesus could make him well, but they could not even get through the door. The next step of getting their friend to Lord Jesus required both climbing and digging. The only access they had to the house Lord Jesus was in was through its roof. They had already carried the paralytic by pushing through the crowd, but now it was time to climb. Something more difficult was required. Will they do it? Climb with the paralytic wrapped in his bedding. That's what you see in the picture. Then when they got to the rooftop, it was time to dig to get through the roof tiles and ceiling. Now these friends were not going to be denied. They were determined to bring the paralytic to the Lord Jesus. It was a real commitment to dig into some stranger's roof and make a man-sized hole in it. Then what did they do? They attached ropes to the bed on which their friend was lying and slowly lowered him down into the room right in front of Lord Jesus. Such was their love for their friend and confidence in Lord Jesus' power and willingness to help, that they would interrupt Lord Jesus' discussions with the local scribes by coming through the roof. As mentioned earlier, carrying their paralytic friend to Lord Jesus through the front door would surely have been difficult. The four friends had to get past and around many people. Likewise today, there are a lot of people between us and Lord Jesus, between our friends and Lord Jesus, and between our loved ones and Lord Jesus. People are serious obstacles in spiritual matters. Many a times we try to invite people to come, like we had the evangelistic movie yesterday. Some may be willing to come, but then there are people who say, why go for that? Go to Orchard Road, Christmas light up. So people are often an obstacle. They can be uncaring or just taking up space and time. Some even actively hinder the preaching of the gospel to loved ones. Purposely or not, people are often the greatest obstacle in getting ourselves, our friends, and our loved ones to Christ. Even ourselves. Even some of you who are sitting here, you may be here just maybe to oblige your friend. But which is good, you are here. But it doesn't end there. You need to get the message of salvation. So we can learn a lesson about friendship from this story. The paralytic had some very good friends. They were determined to get their friend to Lord Jesus. They struggled, went through much pain to bring him to Lord Jesus. We too can have such a good friend. If our friend knows Lord Jesus, we, the Christians, we can encourage him or her to live an obedient life in the Lord, especially for new Christians. And if they do not know Lord Jesus, we can look for ways to bring them to Lord Jesus as the four friends did in the story. Invite them to the church for the fellowship services, the fellowship meetings, gospel rallies, evangelistic movies, evangelistic meetings, the Sunday school, or to the vacation Bible school. But this is the key thing. Bring them with you. That's the message to us. Don't just say there's a movie in New Life, maybe just you go. No. Go and bring them with you in order to be effective. So share the lessons that you have learned with them. Always set a good example for your friends by doing the right thing during worship services, Sunday school, the prayer meetings, fellowships, an NVC meeting which pleases God. So if you invite a friend and say, come to my worship service, but during the worship service, you're digging your nose, your ears, and SMSing and looking at your phone, would that please God? Would there be an encouragement to your friend? They say, I might as well go to the hawker center and do it. So let us be mindful that when we invite them, we have to set an example. Now, if what the four friends had done was wrong, then they would have become the biggest laughingstock in town. If Lord Jesus had disapproved of their kind works, their paralyzed friends would have been a helpless human being swinging in the living room of a stranger's house, surrounded by the religious leaders of the community and the people. Now, can you picture the sweaty faces of the four friends looking expectantly at Lord Jesus? Even today, when a person in need comes to us, the Christian, that person too will look expectantly at us. Now, you know, sometimes when we share our problems and we say, I will pray for you, you know, but will you pray for them? You say, I'll pray for you. And then the moment you forget. But I would challenge you, all of us here, when somebody shares a problem with you, don't say, I will pray for you. Why not say, let's pray now? Why can't we do that? So we have to be, this is something that they are expecting from the Christians. So this is an area that I've noticed because many people are very fond of saying, I will pray for you. Yes, by all means pray for you. But why can't you pray for me now where I can see it? So we have to ask, would our response be Christ-like? And sometimes we also got to be careful, would it be like Satan-like? So brethren, when others look at our Christian life, it is more important that they see God and not us. So they must see God through us. So we have to be mindful when we say that we are a Christian, that we must live a life of a Christian that glorifies God. Next, let's go on to the Savior. Now picture Lord Jesus as every eye is on him, waiting to see what he will do. So Lord Jesus speaks of one thing that matters, and that is faith. And in Luke 5:20, it says, when he saw their faith, isn't it amazing that the faith that we have can be seen? Because of this show of faith, continuing in Luke 5:20, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So Lord Jesus grants forgiveness immediately, even without the paralytic asking for it, because Lord Jesus could see the faith in the paralytic. It is so easy for God to forgive us, and yet people today reject such graciousness because to them, it is only by works that we can receive forgiveness. But Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The forgiveness that comes by faith is what is most needed. Of all the problems that attack us from all sides, the spiritual ones are the most important and should be taken care of first. This is what the gospel is about. Not self-help, not good works, not therapy, not counseling, not meditation, but salvation. Now we must be careful not to concentrate on God's power to heal physical sickness more than on God's power to forgive spiritual sickness in the form of our sin. Now, at the prayer meetings, we often ask for prayer. Pray for this person, pray for that person. But is that person safe? So you see, we are getting our things the other way around. Salvation is important and healing is secondary. So this is something that we have to be careful when we pray for someone. Pray for the salvation of the person and then for healing. But many a times we ask for healing, but we don't mention anything about salvation. So what good is there if you are healed in the body, but your soul is dead? So first, pray for salvation and then for healing. Be warned that your soul will either go to heaven to live with God forever or to hell to be burned with Satan forever. Now, you know, in the beginning of the gospel, in Matthew 1, 21, the angel told us of Lord Jesus' priority. "And she shall bring forth a son, and there thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What was Lord Jesus' priority? Save his people from their sins. But sadly, as would be evident all through the entire ministry of Lord Jesus, the scribes complained about how Lord Jesus was forgiving sins, rather than to celebrate with the one that was forgiven. They were complaining. So you see, the memory verse from Luke 5:24 clearly says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." Lord Jesus already knew about the religious leaders' judgmental thoughts. And in Luke 5:22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts?" Now immediately Lord Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what the religious leaders were thinking in their hearts. And he asked them, why were they thinking those things? And Lord Jesus responded to those thoughts even without the religious leaders openly expressing them in Luke 5:23. "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk?" And even now, as we are seated in this sanctuary, Lord Jesus can read what is going through our minds this very moment. Are we thinking about going for a movie, what to have for lunch? Or when will this long-winded fella finish his message? Now, the religious leaders did not understand that Lord Jesus is God and has the godly power to heal the body and the soul. Sin is punishable, and redemption from sin is only through the shedding of blood. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and following that, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And in Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Now today, forgiveness of sin is no more the offering of blood and burnt offerings of young animals for the remission of our sins like during the Old Testament times. This was taken over by Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified and shed his blood and died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Thereafter, Lord Jesus arose from the dead after 3 days and is now in heaven, waiting to receive believers to also join him in heaven. Will you be one of those who will be joining our Lord Jesus in heaven? Today, the Christians are telling non-Christians, some of you here too, about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to save all sinners from going to hell. But there are many people like loved ones, be it friends and relatives, who will tell you not to believe, like the Pharisees did during our Lord Jesus' time. But we know clearly from Luke 5:24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to forgive sins. So it is imperative for us to emphasize on this, even though there are people being a hindrance to reach out to their loved ones. Now, Lord Jesus is God and has the power and authority to forgive sins, but there would be no way to prove if this forgiveness had really happened. So to prove to them that he could forgive sins, Lord Jesus did the harder thing. He said, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And the man who had not been able to move stood up and walked, carrying his couch with him. Everyone could see what had happened as a result of Lord Jesus' words. His sins are forgiven and he is healed. But in pronouncing both forgiveness and healing, Lord Jesus is declaring and demonstrating his authority over all things, both natural and spiritual. Two ends of the same spectrum, but we don't need to split the two in this case. Both are about wholeness and being made complete and being restored to the former glory. So by the power of Lord Jesus' word to the paralytic, the man was healed instantly and was then able to put Lord Jesus' command into action by taking up his mat and walking to his house, as has been described in Luke 5:25-26. So we see that Lord Jesus did heal the man of his physical problems. This was necessary, but it was secondary. Bible scholars believe Lord Jesus chose to forgive the man's sin before healing him for two reasons. One, to encourage the man that his sins would not stand in the way of healing. And two, to prove to the religious scribes in the crowd that Lord Jesus had the power and authority to forgive people's sins. Now, in the paralytic, what was visible was the healing, which all could see, and which was the proof that the invisible, which we cannot see, that is the forgiveness, had actually happened. Now, isn't that true today as well? Today, we may know a person is saved, which is invisible, but to be sure that the person is really saved, it is only by their behavior, which is the visible proof of their salvation. So if we say we are saved, but we still continue to live in sin, that is something that is questionable. The saved one's personal and social problems are solved by the gospel, but that is the secondary effect of salvation and not its purpose, although the benefits are undeniable. The primary effect of salvation is to save our soul from hell. So we should be more concerned about the spiritual condition of our lives rather than the physical. Now, when Lord Jesus said in Luke 5:20, man, thy sins are forgiven thee, and in Luke 5:24, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house, both brought about wholeness and restoration. Now, this is exactly what Lord Jesus did when he came to the world. Today, Lord Jesus makes the same offer to you as you come to him in confession of your sins. Lord Jesus answers, "Your sins are forgiven. Arise, go into my Father's house in heaven." And in John 14, 23, it says, Lord Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also." That's the promise of salvation. There will be a mansion waiting for us in heaven. Now, in the story of the paralytic being lowered through the roof, we have a graphic illustration of what God was doing when Lord Jesus came to the world. God broke in through the roof of the world so that each of us could have a nose-to-nose encounter with Lord Jesus, and so that each of us could have a restored relationship with God through Lord Jesus. Now, God had been trying to speak to his people through priests and prophets for years, but they ignored God. Indeed, the legalistic approach which the religious leaders had established made it difficult for anyone to get in through the door of faith. Rules and regulations had begun to encase the love of God. God needed a different approach. So God lowered Lord Jesus to the world so that he could meet directly with us and bypass the gatekeepers of faith, who are the false religious leaders and the false teachers. And breaking through the roof of the temple with all its false religions and false teachings to offer us forgiveness and salvation. Because when Lord Jesus came, he brought both healing and wholeness to a broken world, thereby fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy as recorded in Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 53. Now, in the story of the healing of the paralytic, it is an image and a model of how God is breaking through afresh into the world, and a graphic illustration of why Lord Jesus has come. It is a parable of what he invites us sinners to do, to come to that place where we can meet Lord Jesus, to meet with him face to face, to meet with him nose to nose, to have that encounter with him so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be restored, and we can be made whole again. But the story is not just for us Christians. It is for others too, the non-believers. Just as the paralytic was brought by more able-bodied men, we too, the Christian believers, should bring those around us, the non-believers, to a place where they can meet with the risen Lord Jesus, both physically and spiritually. Now, what would this require for us Christians to do our part? And that can mean a lot of different things. If we have made up our mind that we're going to serve God, there are some things that we have to do. One, praying for them. Two, speaking to them and with them, answering their questions, spending time with them. Three, encouraging them, drawing alongside them, doing things for them, and as a church, reflecting the importance of a church as a meeting place of worship and to exhort and encourage one another, and at work, the importance of our work and our testimony at the workplace. Now, this is something which we all struggle with. We are angels when we come to church. Tomorrow is Monday, we go back to work and we become devils. So we must have a testimony, not only in church, not only in our home, but our workplaces as well. You can find the most wicked people in our workplace. That doesn't mean that we too reflect them and become weak. We have to be different. And enabling people to meet Lord Jesus nose to nose through us to trust in him. And lowering them through the metaphorical roof to meet Lord Jesus so that their sins can be forgiven and the things that have been crippling them heal, so that they too can have a relationship with Lord Jesus that breaks through however hard the roof. And now let's look at the fourth group of people, the amazed crowd. I think we can relate with this very clearly. Now picture the crowd who had come to see and hear Lord Jesus. Most of them may not have been close enough to see and hear Lord Jesus, but they would have seen the commotion on the roof, and they might have known the paralyzed man or his friends. But they would certainly have seen the man lowered down, and they definitely would have seen him walk out. The people could hardly believe their eyes. They had never seen such power. They rejoiced that through Lord Jesus, the grace of God was shown like never before among them. So you see, the crowd, they were very amazed. They were thrilled. They were pleased to see the miracle of God. And that is the same here with us. When we come to church, and yesterday we had the evangelistic movie, to come and see the people who have come, and as we prayed with thanksgiving for the many who have turned up, some of us will say, wow, what an amazing thing. So we are so amazed, but are you part of it? Are you one of those who were involved in bringing those people in? Now, if you see, we have the children's Christmas special on the 13 December to 12:30 p.m. You look at this, and then there's a combined youth camp. You look at it and say, wow, amazing. This church has got very, very good programs. But are you involved? Are you participating in it? Or are you just simply amazed, but do nothing about it? So I would urge you to be part of it. Join the ROFers as they go around the blocks to invite the children to come for this Christmas special, and also to encourage the youth to go for the camp. So what do we see in this story that actually happened? We see the following. One, the mercy and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, we see the faith of the paralytic man who was forgiven and cured. Third, the faithful friend's efforts vindicated or justified. And then four, the objectors, especially the religious leaders, were silenced. And fifth, the crowd was amazed. Now, as you are seated here in the silence of this sanctuary, we know that God is here among us. Though we cannot see God, but God is indeed here. So I think it's good that we have to do a self-examination of ourselves to see where do we stand in the sight of God. And I want to put five questions to all of us here relating to the message so that you can prayerfully answer it in your heart, so that when you leave this sanctuary today, you would know the condition that you are in and how involved are you in the work of God. And I will just flash the questions that I will be putting to you before I close in prayer. These are some portraits of people who are self-examining themselves. To self-examine ourselves is a serious thing. If you really mean it, think carefully and ask, and as this question is put to you. So may I ask all of you that we all close our eyes with our head bowed, and as we answer these five questions silently in our hearts, be warned and be fearful, because we are answering to God, not to me, who is here watching and listening and knows the true condition of our hearts. Let us all close our eyes as I put the question to you. Are you paralyzed with sin and need to be carried to Lord Jesus for forgiveness and healing? Are you one here who is not saved? Two, are you the faithful, dedicated friend who will pick up, carry, go around, climb up and dig down to get others to Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, are you an acting, living witness for God? Third, are you like the heartless religious leaders who object to Lord Jesus Christ's extension of grace and healing? In other words, are you against salvation? And fourthly, are you just an amazed bystander as God and his faithful servants work around you, and you are simply attending church but do nothing about your salvation, and I'm surprised to see other Christian brethren actively serving God? And finally, question five, which sums up 1 to 4, are you a child of God? And if you are a child of God, then are you an active living witness for God and a servant of God, and not just an amazed bystander. Let us pray. Lord God, thou hast indeed heard the answers of the people in the sanctuary to the five questions. For those who are non-believers, Lord, please convict them by the power of thy Holy Spirit and speak to him through thy servants to bring such a one to a nose-to-nose encounter with thee to seek forgiveness for sin and receive salvation. For Christian believers who are simply amazed at what thy faithful servants are doing, please give such ones the courage to come forth and serve thee as thy living witness and experience the joy of becoming thy faithful servant. So in thy mercy, please forgive us and hear our prayers, for we ask with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.